Wow, you guys sound so good today. I'm not only talking to the worship team, I'm talking to the church. You guys sound so good. Thank you for praising the Lord and worshiping Him in song. Now, as I said a little earlier, our message today is in Luke 14, so I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke 14 or your device, however you look at God's Word. And we're in the Harvest Time series, and the message today is invitation to a great supper. And as we've done every week, I want us to read the Harvest Time series verse, which is John 4:35. Now, I want you to read it with me. It should be up on the screen. It says, "Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, here we are once again. Lord, we have been out in the world all week and we've emptied ourselves out. We come in to be filled. And Lord, we ask you to fill us to overflowing. Father, we ask you to let your word do a perfect work in every heart in this place. Lord, every individual needs something individual from you. Father, I'm going to preach one message, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to speak to every heart the message they need to hear. So I thank you for that. And Father, just let your word be true today. Let it inspire our hearts. Lord, let it convict us, let it teach us, guide us. Whatever we stand in need of, Lord, may your word do a work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So you remember what a parable is. Y'all remember? It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And in Luke 14, Jesus is attending a dinner party. And at this dinner party, he's sharing parables about dinners, which makes sense. And I want you to just follow with me as I read the passage, Luke 14. I'm going to read verses 15 through 24. It says, "Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, 'Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.' Then Jesus said to him, 'A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant out at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." But when they all with one accord began to make excuses, the first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you, have me excused.' And another said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to test them. I ask you, have me excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you've commanded, and still there's room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.'" Now in this parable, there's 5 factors I want you to focus on. The master represents God, who has prepared a great banquet and invites all to come. Salvation is a feast, it's not a funeral. And God wants his banquet hall to be filled. The servant represents faithful believers. We serve the master as his servants. We have the privilege to tell the world that there's going to be a great spiritual banquet that we're all going to have the opportunity to attend one day. Now I want to ask, is that popping anything with what I have going on up here? What do I need to do? You don't know. Okay, y'all excuse me. Everything's tight. It's okay, we'll just carry on. Okay, timeout's over. Let's get back to the game. The guests, those who the master prepared the banquet for, in truth, this is Israel. This was God's chosen people. Everything was prepared for them. But unfortunately, we see throughout the Bible how that the children of Israel made every excuse to reject the invitation to the true Messiah, who's Jesus Christ. They just wouldn't accept him. And so they were the chosen guest. And then we see their excuses, the things that keep people from accepting the invitation to come to Christ. People make excuses. Here's why. When they're unwilling to let things go that they love so much, that's going to interfere with the relationship with Christ. That's why they make excuses. Now, finally, we see the outcast. That represents anyone in the world who is spiritually lost, poor, broken, or blind. And so there's the five things that we'll notice here today. Now, first, let's look at the master's expectations. Starting in verse 16, we see that he expected a great time. It says a certain man gave a great supper. I mean, he made it big. He was expecting a great time, and not only that, he was expecting many to come. Now, think about this. This was an act of love by the master, and he was expecting love in return. Who would go to all that trouble if they wasn't expecting people to turn out? If they wasn't expecting people to come. If they thought nobody would come, they wouldn't do that. He expected many to come. Verse 16, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. But the problem was they wasn't coming. And I can imagine that master of the house is time, and I'm sure he's wondered. I remember yesterday when we was out there with the barbecue food truck and the trailer, and it was 12 o'clock and nobody had showed up. And I was worried. I was like, man, we need to go knock on some doors or do something. And people was driving by, and it seemed like they weren't certain who we are. Maybe there was a little bit of a fear factor there. What are they doing out here? But eventually, one or two came. And then two or three other. And before you knew it, we had a line. It was so great. I mean, it was so good. And that's what he was looking for. But I would imagine he was saying, where are they? Why are they not coming? The food's going to get cold. It's ready. So he sends out his servant to tell them, come, it's ready. Come now. And so he expected his servant to bring them in. Verse 17 says, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. In other words, tell them it's time. Tell them it's time. And next, let's look at the guest's excuses. I'm going to figure this out. Okay. Is it still on? Okay, there we go. I apologize, y'all. That popping, you know, I know it bothers me and it bothers you, so hopefully it'll cease. So we want to look at the guest excuses. In verse 18, it says, but they all with one accord began to make excuses. You know, probably they was feeling like, oh, he'll have another dinner. There'll be another opportunity, another dinner at a more convenient time. Isn't that how it is with that? I mean, it's like we agree to go and visit somebody, to go to a dinner. We agree to do something. And when it gets closer to the time, we feel crunched. We're like, man, I really don't have time for this right now. That's kind of what was happening here. And the excuses that they made, if you look at them, they're all about the cares of life. The cares of the world. You know the problem? Even believers fall back on these excuses. And they had excuses about material things that kept them from accepting the invitation. Continuing in verse 18, it says, the first said to him, I bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you, have me excused. The material things of life. The preoccupation kept them from accepting the invitation. Verse 19, and another said, I bought five yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you, have me excused. Right now, I'm preoccupied. I can't come. And then relationships were an excuse that kept them from accepting the invitation. Verse 20, still another said, I married a wife and therefore I cannot come. And many jokes have been made about that, so I'm going to forego that. Y'all was waiting on one, wasn't you? Sorry to disappoint you. Look, but here's the thing. Their excuses proved their foolishness. It's kind of like the boy who showed up at school without his homework, and the teacher says, what happened to your homework? He's like, I lost it fighting a guy who said you wasn't the greatest teacher in the world. I think she probably saw right through that, don't you? I mean, think about how foolish their excuses were. Who purchases land without seeing it? Who purchases oxen without first proving them? I mean, if you buy a car, you're going to go test drive it, right? Well, maybe not today. You just order it online. They dump it at your house. Okay, that's a bad example. But who accepts an invitation? I mean, clearly these people had accepted the invitation and they would be there at that certain time. And then when the time came, they was telling them why they couldn't come. Who accepts an invitation when it's right around their wedding day? You know, how foolish our excuses are to God. You know what the real problem is? People are often seeking fulfillment in anything other than God. And you know what the problem with that is? There is no true fulfillment in anything other than God. Amen. That's the real problem. The guest excuses. So let's look at the master's exclusion. The servant report was not good. Verse 21, so the servant came and reported these things to his master. You know, one day we will all stand before God's throne in heaven, and a report will be given on each of us on what we did with the Savior. Did we accept the invitation or did we reject the invitation? And so this servant comes back and he's telling the master all these that had rejected the invitation. The servant's report wasn't good and the master's anger wasn't contained. Verse 21, then the master of the house being angry said to the servant. See, here's what he was angry about. The excuses of those invited angered the master to the point to where he made a bold proclamation. And the proclamation was his judgment on them. And the final judgment was not pleasant. It's in verse 24. It says, for I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. You know, the message is this, is that one day there's going to be a final judgment from God. And with some, they'll experience his anger and his wrath. Those that reject his invitation of love. And we all get the invitation, but some of us never receive it. We make excuses. Those who refuse God's invitation will not be allowed in the marriage supper. You're like, well, what is the marriage supper? We'll read about it in a few minutes, but basically the marriage supper is the eternal bond of believers, the bride, with Jesus, the groom. It's a marriage in heaven. They talk about a marriage made in heaven. This is literally a marriage made in heaven. Amen. We're to be married to the Lamb of God. We are the bride of Christ. Those who refuse the invitation will be forever excluded from eternity, from that marriage, from that opportunity, from that uniting with Christ. Now let's look at the invitation extended. Verse 21, he tells his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it's done as you've commanded, and still there's room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Look around you. Is his house filled today? See, here's what I want to say to you is that this challenge is to us as God's servants. That was one of the intents of what we did yesterday, to go out and compel them to come in. This is for us. He says, go with urgency. Verse 21, the words are go out quickly. He's saying the great supper is ready, but the banquet hall's not filled. The master says, go out quickly before it's too late. I remember a few years ago, Susan and I and my daughter and her husband and our grandboys went to one of these pumpkin patches, you know, like you do in the fall where they have the corn mazes and all that kind of stuff. And we're out there and we're enjoying the day. It's a beautiful day. And I remember that we was walking through pathways through the corn maze and pumpkin patch. And they had about a half acre field of flowers that was this tall. And I would imagine at one point those were beautiful flowers, but on that day they were all brown and dry. They were dead. And I asked the lady working there, I said, what happened to those flowers? She says, oh, I wish you could have seen them last week. They were so beautiful. She says, we didn't know that early frost was coming. An early frost had came unexpectedly, and it killed all of those flowers. Now imagine a half acre of beautiful flowers that could have been, if they knew it was coming, they could have cut those flowers and they could have got them in the house. They could have shared them in many people's houses. People could have enjoyed those flowers sitting on their kitchen table. That's sort of a picture of what heaven is going to be, because one day Christ is going to return. And in Matthew 24:44, it tells us that we need to be ready, because he'll come in an hour that we think not. And all those that are not brought in will be like those flowers. They'll wither and they'll die without life. See, here's what I want you to understand about heaven. Jesus says this. He says, I am life. I am life and the light of men. If you want to have eternal life, and Jesus is life, then to have eternal life, you have to be with Jesus. Makes sense, right? If you're separated from Jesus for all eternity, then he's life. You're separated from life. There's only one opposition to life. It's death. So the Bible clearly teaches it's either eternal life or eternal death. And he wants us all to live in eternal life with him one day. So we're told to go with urgency. We're told to go everywhere. Verse 21, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city. Verse 23, go out into the highways and the hedges. He's saying, beat the hedges, man. Go and find those that are lost. And bring them in. Go wherever you might find anyone to invite. Anyone. And then he says, go invite whomever. Verse 21, bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Now imagine this. Imagine if you had the resources to provide a great supper and you filled the house with the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Imagine what that supper would be like. Imagine the gratitude that would be expressed by those that you bring in. I mean, out in the world with nothing, and you're saying, come into this great supper. We want to feed you. We want to love on you. We want to care for you. Imagine the gratitude that they would express, and imagine the blessing that you would feel. I think about they do the big meal on Thanksgiving where it was Hosea feeding the homeless. I don't know if they still call it that, but you know the meal I'm talking about. I mean, it's huge. And I know you can go and volunteer for that. Throughout the years, I've volunteered at homeless shelters and places to serve meals. And I'm going to tell you, I never went in to serve that I didn't come out extremely blessed. And the people that I serve would be thanking you and be so grateful, and they would express so much gratitude, and it would just humble you. Imagine if we could do that. That's what the master is doing here. He says, and just invite anybody. It's here. It's ready. It's free. Invite anyone and everyone that would be willing to come. You know, that's our charge. That's our challenge. We're to go with urgency. We're to go wherever. We're to invite whoever. that this house might be filled. That's what the Lord wants today. That's what the Master says to his servants to do today. You know, this parable is about something very real. God invites us all to a great banquet. And I want to read it to you. It's Revelation 19 and it's verses 6 through 9. This is what I was talking about earlier, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And in verse 6, we see that there will be a great multitude. It says, "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunder, and saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." I don't know about you, but I know I'm going to be there one day and I'm going to hear those words spoken. I'm going to be there. You say, well, how can you be so sure? Because I'm sure of my Savior. I'm sure of who Jesus is. I know what He did for me. I know how He forgave my sins and He lifted me up out of the gutters of life. And I know that one day I'll be in that marriage supper and I'll hear those words spoken. Not only will it be a great multitude, say, I won't be alone. There'll be a lot of people there with me. Not only will it be a great multitude, but it'll be a great celebration. Verse 7 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife has made herself ready." Remember now, the bride of Christ, that's believers. We need to make ourselves ready. And how do we do that? Well, there's also going to be a great presentation. In verse 8, it says, "And to her, the bride, it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright." Listen to this now. "For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Are you performing righteous acts? Are you weaving that linen? Are you getting ready for the marriage supper? Are you getting ready to join the bride of Christ? Listen, that fine linen, maybe that dress just ain't done yet because we're not doing enough righteous acts yet. The fine linen would be our righteous acts here on this earth as we are going out and trying to bring people in to fill God's house. And it's also going to be a great blessing, verse 9. "Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." Blessed are those. Man, I feel the blessing already because I look forward to that day. Blessed are those that are going to be called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And here's what I love. "And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God." There's God saying, "You got my word on it. It's going to happen. There's going to be a marriage one day in heaven. And you can be a part of it if you so choose. The banquet hall is ready. And anybody can come and dine. Anybody can come and be a part of this. It's free. You don't have to pay anything for it. You just have to accept my invitation." That's what God says to us. Listen, the supper's being prepared and the banquet hall needs to be filled. We need to invite families and friends and we need to extend the invitation to anybody that would come. Brown, black, white, young, old, broken, poor. Anybody that doesn't yet know Christ. We need to extend the invitation. We need to welcome them in. We need to invite anybody that can appreciate the opportunity to have a feast at the Master's table. And can I tell you something? That's going to be the great feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb. But if your heart's right, when you come into church, there's a feast every week. It's a feast of worship. It's a feast of the Word. It's when we pray together. It's when we sing together. It's what fills our spirits. It's what gives us strength for the week ahead to where we'll go back out there and do righteous acts so that we can weave that wedding garment. Now here's the invitation. It's in Revelation 22:17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come." The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaks to people's hearts. But who else speaks to people's hearts? The bride. Who's the bride? Us. We're to say, come. Come to Jesus. And it goes on, and let him who hears come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And then, of course, there's that simple explanation of how you do this in Romans 10, 13. It says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not any more difficult than that. Lord, will you save me? Lord, I'm broken. Lord, I'm poor. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I want to be at that great supper one day. Will you save me? And he says there, whoever, yes, I'll save you. I'll save whoever. Anybody that calls on me, I'll save. You know what he's saying, what you read between the lines there? He said, I'm not going to force my way into your heart. If you make excuses, make excuses. I'm not going to make you come to my dinner. I'm not going to make you be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's up to you. Here it is. Come. The invitation is in your hands. Come. So it's time to respond. And I want to share two conclusions with this parable. First, for the believers, God's servants, the bride that says come, we're to urgently go and invite people to the banquet. I wonder, you know, I've often wondered when I read that story, I wonder how was that story different than what was first expected. The master expected all his invited guests to come, all the dignitaries, all the important people, and I'm sure there would have been a lot of pomp and circumstance, but none of them showed up, and they went out and got the broken and the lame and the blind and the lost. They went into the highways and the hedges, and they filled the place with those people. I wonder how it was different. I think it was probably full of love. I think it was probably people that were so thankful, so overwhelmed with the love of the master that he would bring them into such a banquet as this. I think it had to be a beautiful thing. And I'm going to tell you something, church. When we work hard to fill the master's house, we're not going to fill it with church members from other churches. We want to fill it with those that are needy. We want to fill it with those that are broken. Just like he said there, go and find the broken and the poor and the lame and the blind. And we want to fill it with people that need help, people that need Jesus, people that need love. And if you filled this place with people like that, how different it would be. How different. And the Spirit tells them, come. But the bride also needs to go out and tell them to come. Here's the second conclusion. It's for the outcast, the one that hasn't accepted the invitation yet. I just want to say, accept the invitation. Accept God's invitation to Christ. Make him your Savior. Make him your Lord. Why have you not accepted him? I wonder, do you make excuses? Well, I got things to do. Well, I'll do it at a later time, a later day. I'll get to it someday. Or, well, my friends wouldn't approve. How can I keep hanging out with my friends if I give my life to Christ because I know I'd have to change? We have so many excuses. But here's what I'm asking you today. If you're lost without Christ, you've heard the warning that one day it'll be death instead of life. And you also heard that the invitation is right here, ready and waiting. And I would just invite you to put all the excuses aside and say, today's the day that I'm going to call on the Lord and be saved. Today's the day I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation, asking Jesus in my heart. And if you don't know how to pray that prayer, just as we sing, as we have an invitation, people are going to come and pray. You come and speak to me and say, I'm ready. I'm ready to accept Christ. So however God's speaking to your heart this morning, the altars are open. Come and pray. Rededicate yourself to the Lord. Ask him to show you who you can go out and invite and who you can bring in as the bride. Who do you say come to? If you need Jesus, come and let's pray together. Stand and let's sing. Thank you.
online this morning. We would love to see you next time in person on Sunday mornings at 9:15 a.m. for our Sunday school class and at 10:30 a.m. for our worship service. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Ciao!